Thanks, Peter. So, anybody do any good with their next step, or the folks that you intended to work, kind of make contact with this week? I didn't, just in case you want to know. I keep looking, my police officer, who is my, you know, this one person, I just can't seem to get. I never saw his car there this week. I'm worried about him. Yes, ma'am. Perfect. That's great. Well, good. That's exactly the way to do it. It's just right on the money. Now we did go out to dinner with our neighbors from across the street and Elijah. They love Elijah, so we did. It wore me out, but it was good. And but I think we're making progress. Everybody feel like you're starting to fill out your little who is my neighbor thing and starting to get the right information on it? Okay, I think it's important. Jesus thought it was important. All right, so let's start off with the video. And as you know, if you read the stuff, the article for today is the fear factor.
Think about the last three news stories that you saw or read. How'd they make you feel? Did you feel all warm and fuzzy after you read through those or saw something online? Or did you find yourself shopping for a new security system? See, we live in an unprecedented time where we have access to news 24 hours a day. And a lot of that news, it is news about the most broken, sick, almost evil things that are going on all around the world. And that does something to us. When we can turn on the TV every day and we see these stories, there's entire shows that they're made just to mine these stories that just make you shudder and just turn off the TV, right? And when we see those over and over and over again, it begins to create this low-grade fear that we carry around with us all the time. And it begins to impact how we think about others and the things that we assume about the unknown. And this is toxic when it comes to our neighboring relationships. I remember having a neighbor who I just didn't know at all. Single man, and he lived down the street. He was incredibly shy. And for some reason, these different narratives, these different stories started to play around in my head. These assumptions started to grow about who this person was and what they were like. And maybe they're just like some of the things that I've seen on the news. And then one day, I was walking down to the corner, and he happened to be out mowing his lawn. And I just said, hey, and we stopped and had an awkward moment. We walked in and just talked a little bit further. What I came to understand is he was a widower and didn't have any family that lived in our state. That he was just incredibly lonely, and that he was shy, but that he was dying for something of depth, for a real relationship. But all of those assumptions that I had made had prevented that from happening. I think that's true for a lot of us. We look around at these different people, and maybe we're going so fast, or maybe there's something just a little bit different about them, and then we begin to...
Uh-huh. Terrific. Well, that's obviously the tease.
On your block. But I think we could all agree with this. There's a little different about them. And then we begin to build up these roadblocks that had prevented that he was just incredibly lonely and that he was shy, but that he was dying for something of depth, for a real relationship. But all of those assumptions that I had made had prevented that from happening. I think that's true for a lot of us. We look around at these different people and maybe we're going so fast, or maybe there's something just a little bit different about them. And then we begin to build up these roadblocks in the way of taking the next step with that person. Now, let's be honest. There are some really sick people in our world. And there's a chance that one of them lives on your block. But I think we could all agree with this. There's a lot fewer sick people than we think there are. And so we just want to encourage you to begin to question some of the assumptions that you may or may not have made. Jesus has this incredible model all throughout the New Testament in which he's encouraging, he's challenging, he's pushing us to grow past some of our fears and to spend time with people who we might know.
Not going to go, okay? We'll make up our own ending for that.
By, and they start to question him, if you only knew who these people were, and you... Jesus looks at him and says, listen, I didn't come for the healthy, I came for the sick. What would it be like if we, as the people of God, were in the mix, that we were salt and light, that we were overcoming some of our assumptions, some of our... fears about who we were going to spend time with, and that we were actually bringing our whole selves into some of those environments that exist 40, 50, 60, 70.
It's amazing, his mouth's not moving.
Grow inside of us, and it will prevent us from living the kind of life that God wants us to live. And fear is really toxic because it leads to isolation. And isolation, and the lack of social connections, is the antithesis, it's the opposite of the second half of the Great Commandment. The genius of this principle of loving your neighbor is it brings people closer and closer together. And it brings the people of God into environments in which they can begin to share their life and their stories and to share with others about why they've chosen to orient their lives around the teaching of Jesus. God wants us to be salt and light. He wants us to be in the game. He wants us to be at the best parties in town. And so as you think about your block, if your block's like mine, there's always that one house where people don't know exactly what's going on. Maybe there's a lot of assumptions that you've made about the people that live there and some of the dynamics that exist. What would it look like if this week you just took the next step? Just began to do something that might enable you to learn a little bit more about the people who live in that house.
So, anything in the reading or the video just kind of stand out to you, or something you particularly liked, or something, you know, that you found difficult, other than the fact that our internet is not very, our streaming is not real good today, but...
I think it's interesting to me is it seems easy for a lot of people, myself included, to talk to other people. But then to deliberately start talking about Christ and obeying the truth and all that is when it can get difficult.
I think the cool thing in this is that, you know, we're not saying make that acquaintance just specifically so that you can then talk about Christ. You're going to want to neighbor them, if you will, because you're converted. That's, we worry about converting them down the road, and not with everybody, because you know the gate's narrow. You get that. There will be people who will see the way you live and the way you are and what you're, just the comfort and the joy you have in your life because of Christ and what he did for us and the promise we have, that they're going to want to say, I want some of that, dude. How do I get there? And that'll open the door.
Well, I did want to say how you handle these fears. So I'm on the...
I do think now, you know, fear is a real, I mean, I think it's a real thing. I thought the, you know, in the reading, you know, where we talked about, you know, I mean, the Israelites had it made. All they had to do was do what God said, and they were afraid. You know, 10 of the spies they sent over, if you remember, said, oh, you know, we're like grasshoppers in their eyes, and we can't do it. Only Joshua and Caleb got the picture, and we're ready to go forward. And I thought it was just a great reminder of what fear does to us, because then when they finally did, 40 years later, when they did take that land, and Rahab was talking to them and said, we were melting in fear because of you, because of what your God had done for you.
Well, there is something to be said that things seem big when we have to confront them, but then if we're not in conflict with something, then it's just like anything else. It's only when we're challenged by something, threatened by something, feel threatened by something, that something looms big to us. Like people look big to the spies.
Right.
But then, you know, then when you confront it, then it becomes just more ordinary, I would say. Instead of giants, they might have just been rather large people.
Exactly right. And, you know, and I think, you know, our challenge is to remember when we do have that, we see what looks like a wall. You know, in my case, it's that police officer that lives on our street. And that God's going to take care of it. Yeah, we just don't have to. You know, it's like the story I told you the first week when, you know, my friend in South Georgia was really worried about getting to meet their neighbor, and who lived probably half a mile down the road because it's rural. And, you know, she prayed about it, and the next day their cow wandered off into the person's yard. I mean, that God took care of it. We don't have to pull the cow into someone's yard. God's going to do that. And that just works. Yes, sir, David.
The guy on the film was talking about you don't know your neighbors, and you start thinking about what they're doing, what you're seeing, and you start coming up with conclusions about who they are and what they are, and you get carried away with that. The only way you really know is to be able to meet them and learn what they're about. And,
right.
I do that. It's very easy to look over here and say, well, I think this and I think that, but you don't really know.
No question. I mean, I've done that. I've told you, with that particular person on our block, who I have been blocked so far from being able to get in front of. You know, I mean, I had decided that this was one bad guy. He probably abused his wife, and you know, everybody in that house was. I don't know anything about that. Don't know what his problem is. We got to deal with it. So, but I'm going to get there, and I'm going to tell you about it. Yes, ma'am.
One thing that going back to what Joe was saying, that keeps coming back to my mind is the fact that the Samaritan didn't have a religious agenda when he helped the man.
Right.
And he didn't say anything about to the innkeeper.
Right.
He just said, help the man, and if he needs more help, I'll pay it when I come back.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I think that's one thing that we've got to remember is that we have to be a good neighbor always. And it doesn't mean that I have to always bring up Christ to them.
No, I really do think, and that it, my experience has been, you have a lot better chance of being successful by just letting them know who you are.
Right.
And as you get, you know, as you develop relationships, you will get to talk about why you live the way you do. And then it's up to them.
It's amazing to me the people at work who come and ask me questions
right.
about the Bible. You know.
Right.
I don't bring it up.
They just know. I love, and it certainly doesn't happen all the time.
No.
But I deal with most of my clients, I just have a telephone relationship. I haven't met most of them in person. We've done some videoing, but that's about it. And not enough, but every once in a while, one of them will say, you're a Christian, aren't you? And, you know, and I'll know that I've done something right with them.
I wanted to say, Sandy, that a good thing that can come from this class, I believe, with your teaching, the way you're doing it, is I really don't like to be misjudged. I guess I don't like to be judged at all. I like to be myself. If we can learn not to assign motives to people that they don't have and assign their personalities as being in ways that they're not, and their ways as being as they're not. And Jimmy one time had in a sermon that he said, we assign motives to people that they don't even have.
Absolutely.
You know, so we can't know until we get to know somebody. And even then, who knows what people think about me because I'm not like everybody else. So.
Well, obviously. But that's right. And that great, great point. Okay, so one of the things that, and anything else in this, were you going to say something, Rebecca? Or, okay. You know, one of the readings was Luke 5, 27 through 32. And, and it's up there, and, you know, it's where Jesus was having dinner with a lot of people who weren't very well thought of. And, the Pharisees asked him, why in the world do you eat with these kind of people? What's the matter with you? And, you know, his answer was, you know, I haven't come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. You know, a lot of people would have had a fear, the Pharisees would have had a fear of, you know, having dinner with those people. And there's, you know, there's other examples of times where Jesus has shown that you can't decide who you're going to neighbor and who you're not going to neighbor. Any idea, any suggestions, other examples in the about Jesus where he did that? You rarely understand it. Got it.
You know, I'm thinking about Jesus and the Samaritan woman.
Exactly. You did understand. That's a perfect one. Here they were, and you know, and his disciples found him talking to her, and they were shocked. But he had a plan. Yes, sir.
Well, I know the emphasis on the class, the art of neighboring, is to get to know the people in your own square block, I guess you'd call it.
Sure.
But one of the things that I've found is just be who you are every day, and the contacts that you make will make the opportunity for you to do whatever. One of the things that I've developed a habit of doing is if I can't actually fix something on a clock, I don't charge at all.
Right.
You know, I'll take the clock back to them and say, listen, I can't do this, there's no charge. And several people have been almost aghast at that, that I would even think about that because I put all this time on this clock and I'm not charging and I'm not that way.
Yep.
And I had one person ask me, are you Jesus? And I said, no, but I follow him. And, you know, I mean, it leads into discussions that you don't anticipate, and it doesn't have to be somebody right next door to you.
It doesn't. And we're focusing on that just because they're so darn close to you. You know, and the fact that Jesus told us to do that. But, you know, obviously, you're right. And you have lots of opportunities outside of your neighborhood, too. You know, another example, you know, someone who overcame fear was Ananias, right? With, you know, after Paul's conversion. You know, he was known as someone who wasn't, you know, he wasn't a very kind person. He was a dangerous person. But he knew he had to go bring him along and neighbor him, if you will. So loads of examples about it. And yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah, right up there. That's right. Yeah, no question. Okay, so the question is, are you uncomfortable spending time with anyone on your block? Amy?
Yeah.
Sexual predator? Sure. And you do have to be cautious, but you don't have to be afraid, but you do have to be cautious and you have to be prudent. That's just one of those things that we'll see as we continue this study. Anybody else? Just, you know, there are times where I remember, goes back, I don't know, 15 years or so ago, and I don't remember how I made contact with this person. I don't know if he came to the church at Mandarin or if I met him at the transportation company where he came and applied for a job. I'm talking about, you know, the fellow I brought, Mary Kay, that we had dinner with him. And Mary Kay was, she got a really bad feeling about this guy. And she may have been right, I don't know. Okay, she was absolutely right. And he was an interesting, you know, I mean, I think he was an interesting guy, and he may have been a con man, I don't know, but, you know, from my standpoint, and it was easy for me to do it, because all I had to do was leave town the next day, but you know, I thought he needed a break, and he did turn out to be a little bit of a con person, and we did pay for a few nights hotel rooms, and he seemed to have a lot of heart attacks and things like that. But you know what? It's okay.
Kathleen brought up about the jailer being converted by Paul. Paul didn't run away during the earthquake, and I guess it's a good point that if you ever have a chance to escape from jail, don't do it. You know, you'll set a bad example.
that's true. You're right. You know, yes, ma'am.
Well, I find that, like, we had a new neighbor move in, and so I had an opportunity. I was doing some baking, and I took him a cake and gave it to him. And that sort of interaction, right later, he thanked. And this is back in two now, and so there's different ways. That's the reason I
Yep.
Of course, she made the first step instead of the neighbors.
She did, and.
But,
right.
You know, I don't think very few people do turn down food.
Well, they don't, and it's just a perfect entree. It just is. I mean, really, with our Mary Kay suggested this week, just because I'm having a hard time getting to this, you know, to this police officer in our neighborhood, you know, to bring. We have a, you know, this is a blatant commercial for what Nothing But Cakes, which is they make wonderful cakes. I mean, they're really good, and you know, to bring him, you know, one of those, just drop it over to his house. And if he's, you know, once I see his car there, and if I wake him up, you know, that's life. We just give and say, you know, really appreciate your service and get to know him. So I'm gonna, that's on my to-do list for this week. But I think that a lot of our fear comes in from the 24-hour news cycle that we have. You know, these are just a few of the headlines. You know, not Jacksonville's 82 homicides are most in the first half of the year or the last decade. Killing every 2.5 days. Ugly truth, Jacksonville continues to be soaked in violence. Jacksonville police, two sought robbery, left one injured, man attacked, robbed while walking on Jacksonville Beach. You know, and there's loads more. I mean, we could have had 18 slides. And it doesn't necessarily make you want to go out and knock on the door or do whatever for someone you don't know. But
in places that can be dangerous. I was so surprised to find out that 103rd Street is a very, very dangerous place to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when we first moved here, it was just nothing for people to walk up and down the sidewalk there and feel quite safe.
Sure.
It just changed completely.
Listen, you know, it's a tough world, and wherever it is, I mean, we've had, you know, we've not in our specific neighborhood, but not all that far, you know, there have been murders, and, you know, I mean, it's just, it's one of those things. But it really shouldn't have anything to do with our, what we do.
Also, by knowing something about your neighbors and everything, it brings security to you and your family because they can look out for your home, for things like if there's a fire or anything.
Absolutely.
Like that. Our community, you know, we don't really interact all that much, but we do have things in common that we deal with.
Sure. I mean, when we're gone, you know, we went to South Carolina for Darren Jr.'s graduation from boot camp, and I mean, when we got back, our mail had been taken in, our garbage cans had been placed back, a whole lot neater than we place them, and I mean, and we do the same thing for our neighbors. I mean, they're real, you know, it does, you know, it's a good thing. And what's more important, Jesus said we needed to do it. So that's what we're going to do. So what's the worst case scenario if you engage your neighbors? Ernest.
Worst case scenario, they may not want to hear it. But the key thing is you never know until you actually engage them. Yesterday, in my apartment later in the afternoon, ran into my neighborhood right above me. I was like, oh, got an opportunity to speak to him.
Yep.
We're always in and out, in and out, in and out. And I haven't seen him with myself, next 10, come to find out that all around me is his family. He lives upstairs, his grandkids live downstairs, one of his other family members is next door. So I'm literally living in between an entire family area. And I'm sitting there chatting with him, found out he likes football like I do. We got the subject of that, start discussing. And most of the time when you meet people, they're usually pretty open about a lot of things. Sometimes, you know, more in-depth and intimate things, they may not share with you right off the bat.
Right.
But then there are time frames you meet someone, and they just start telling you everything about their life. Now, it's happened a time or two before, and you can easily be like, okay, this is a whole lot more than I really
Right.
There is a reason. take off and run, which you may lose that person's attention forever, or you can entertain that. You can listen to them. They may not need an answer. They just may need somebody to listen.
Absolutely.
If you've been inclined to listen to them, guess what they're probably going to be inclined to do when you start speaking about the truth. They may be more inclined. That's where the whole actions speak a lot louder than words. You can say, hey, I'm a Christian, I'm this, I'm that, but they see the complete opposite, especially when they need you, like we were talking about a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
When you open up and they start coming to you for needs,
right.
That's probably their need to listen to you. You know, just that initiation that I started right there, don't tell them what to be doing that. But that's actually a good thing.
It is.
Good thing.
Right. Yeah.
Somebody made a comment earlier, you know, as people get to know each other within the community, it makes things a lot. You know, it improves the safety of it. People are more aware of things.
It just does.
I've heard those stories like a million times from my parents. Like, hey, we grew up in an environment where everybody knew everybody and this and this and this and this and this and this. But there's actually a lot of good to that.
There's a lot. And because you talked about that there's a reason, there's also a reason that you're their neighbor.
Exactly.
Didn't?
We placed there for a reason.
Right. And so what a shame to waste it. Thank you. That's dead on. So, worst scenario. What's the worst thing that could happen?
That they really are a bad person.
They really are a bad person. Okay. You ever meet a bad person before? Right? Sure. I mean, listen. And I'm not saying put yourself in obvious danger. I mean, you know, someone comes to the door and they're, you know, or you know they're a drug dealer without question, just based on the coming and going all the time. You know, you may want to be a little cautious there.
I think it goes back to what Jesus even told the apostles, be harmless as dove and wise as serpents.
Yeah.
That,
yeah.
Know, we're to be harmless, but we're also to be wise about our surroundings, the people we talk to. There are times when sometimes even that bad person who's never known the gospel will learn it. And God can change him. Yeah. But God's the only one who can change him.
Absolutely. I mean, but you can open a door,
right,
that, you know, wouldn't have been opened otherwise. So obviously, you got to be careful, but you don't want to be afraid.
Right.
Because God's going to protect you one way or another. Who do you think's afraid of you?
My kids.
Yeah, got it. Ernest?
Sometimes the same people that you describe as a bad person, we all know that it's the qualities of an individual, the things they do that dictate that standard for the bad person, things they do. But sometimes, you know, I've actually learned this personally, a bully of mine, a long time ago, back to school, and when 7th, 8th grade rolls around, this guy wouldn't be my friend. I was like, that's really weird, but okay. I even talked to my daddy about it. I was like, why would he want to do that? He's like, well, you're a Christian, right? I said, yeah, you're a peculiar person. Maybe it's a peculiar doctrine that he's actually interested in now. This person never approached him before because he felt like, you know, I do this right, I act this way, I treat people in a certain way. He didn't want to approach me because he felt like I wasn't good enough to be his friend. I said, I just didn't hang around with you. All you want to do is bully me. Why do I associate with you? But I still try to take that opportunity to at least, as the scriptures tell you, to at least live peaceably with you.
Sure.
I mean, try with that.
Yep.
What I didn't come to realize is that through living peaceable with that individual is why that person can change. I mean, I don't know if that's the direct reason for it.
Yeah.
But
that
could be part of it.
I think so.
Sandy, one thing I hate to bring up, but I think I should.
But you're going to. Go ahead.
That we're not guaranteed, because we're Christians, we're not guaranteed physical protection.
Absolutely.
From doing these things, and that's why we need to be wise as servants.
Right.
I don't mean to say that in a discouraging way to anyone, but at the same time, if someone seems dangerous enough, you definitely wouldn't want to go there by yourself. You might not want to go in their house or not want to be alone with that person.
Dick.
Because, you know, bullets don't discriminate, knives don't discriminate.
Sure.
So
no.
A Christian can be harmed out trying to do good and doing God's will and still be harmed.
Yeah. You have to have discernment. You just do. But God will give you that, and you'll just decide, you know, there are folks. Just, you know, that's that fine line. You just have to, you know, between, okay, and I'm a little worried about this guy. Maybe I just shouldn't have anything to do with him. Or I'm pretty sure I saw his face up on the post office wall. I may not want to talk to him. Right. Thanks, Joe. And I don't know who's afraid of me, but Mary, our kids are the same with Mary Kay. She gives them the look, and they don't want the look. Okay. So, what do you think the main reason is that people are afraid of their neighbors?
Because they might be different.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And you know, and there's no question. People are always most comfortable with people that are exactly like them.
That's the whole thing of humanity is different people.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's one of the things that makes life interesting, actually.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting, and that's absolutely right. When we're doing this, we've got to know that there's going to, we talked about it a little bit last week, it's going to cost us time. And we may hear things we may be more involved than we think we want to be, but that's because that's what they need. And, if we're going to be good neighbors, we absolutely have to be prepared for that and have to be prepared for some in-depth discussions from time to time that may make us uncomfortable. Anybody else? Okay. All right, so I think we're not too far from being done. So anybody have any specific things that they want to commit that they're going to do this next week? Great. Yep. Great, I love that. Yeah, that's terrific. I'm gonna do the bun cake with our police officer, and just planning on doing it. And and Mary Kay and I are working on a. This will just be with the three or four houses right around us. We're gonna have dinner with them, and I'm gonna cook, and we're gonna have a good time. And that'll be a good thing. All I can just this week, and we'll wrap it up. Go meet one of your neighbors you haven't met. Find out something about them, and come tell us about it next week. I think it's I think it's